Exodus 15:3 says, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." Psalm 24:8 says, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle." In this broadcast, we are going to look at the Lord Jesus as a mighty warrior, as the man of war. We're going to get a fresh vision of him as the Lord strong and mighty in battle. And then we're going to look at scriptures that will show us what happens when this God, this mighty warrior, enters the fight. Okay, going to Exodus 15:3, it says, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." Here we see that it's a part of a song. If we look at the background of what's going on here, Moses and the children of Israel are at the shores of the Red Sea. God had just brought down Pharaoh and his armies. And so they're singing, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea." And as they go on, here's another verse of that song. They said, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." They are singing to the Lord. This is a part of their praise. They are saying, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." What they were saying is, "The Lord is a warrior. He's engaged in war. He's familiar with it. He's hardened to it. He's toughened in it." We're talking about the God of infinite power here. But what could be better translated, "The Lord is a man of war"? It could be better translated as this: "Jehovah is the man or hero of the battle." So when they were saying, "The Lord is a man of war," they were saying, "Jehovah is the man or hero of the battle. He's well able to deal with all those that strive with their maker, and he will certainly be too hard for them. He is a warrior. He's well versed in all the arts of war. He's abundantly qualified for it, having consummate wisdom, strength, and courage. What is his name? The Lord is his name. Jehovah is his name. He is the one before whom all other existence fades and falls into nothingness." The Lord is a man of war. Now, what's being used here is a strong anthropomorphism. What that means is it's ascribing human form or attributes to a being that's not human, as in the case of deity, which is in this case. The Lord is a man of war. He's a warrior. He's one mighty in battle. And we see this as this song that Moses and the children of Israel were singing as they go on. Listen to what they're singing in verses 6 and 7, 10 and 12. It says, "Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellency, you have overthrown those that rose up against you. You sent forth your wrath, which consumed them as stubble. You did blow with the wind. The sea covered them, and they sank as lead in the mighty waters. You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them." Oh, do you see the picture here? As the warrior God, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Then we go over to Psalm 24:8, and we get another picture of the Lord as a warrior. Here we have David saying in verse 8, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." But before this, he began to praise the Lord, and he said, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? Now notice, he didn't say, oh, he is the King of all love, all mercy, the King of all power, all dominion, the King of holiness. He didn't use those attributes, but this is what he said. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Oh, he's the one that's strong in himself. He's mighty in his acts. And especially when it comes to battle, the Lord, the one whose name alone is Jehovah, he's the most high in all the earth. He is strong and mighty. Here he's being described with his most exalted attribute as being the God of power. He's mighty. This distinguishes him from all the idols because they have no power. He is strong and mighty. He has conquered his enemies, brought salvation to Israel. This mighty God, almighty God, everlasting I am. He is Jehovah righteousness. And he has shown his strength and might in creation when he created all things out of nothing. And he continues to show his strength and might by upholding all things by the word of his power. He showed his strength and might in the redemption of his people, in the resurrection of himself, and the government of his church and the care of his saints. This Lord is mighty. In battle, he displays his power eminently in overthrowing hostile armies. Oh, listen to what he has done. He's mighty in battle. He made an end of sin. He spoiled principalities and powers, and he abolished death, destroying him who had the power thereof, even Satan, the devil himself. Hallelujah. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He's the captain of salvation to his people. He's our leader, our commander. He furnishes us with weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He teaches our hands to war, our fingers to fight the good fight of faith, and he makes us more than conquerors. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, with this in mind, this picture of Jesus as being a man of war, the Lord strong and mighty, mighty in battle. Now we want to transition and we want to look at scriptures and see what happens when God enters the fight. Okay, we look at Exodus 14:14, where Moses said to the people of Israel, "The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace." Now, we want to know the background of these words. Here, the children of Israel had the Red Sea in front of them, and Pharaoh and his army were pursuing. Pharaoh took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And he pursued after the children of Israel. The Egyptians were marching after them. Well, you can imagine how terrified they were. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord. But Moses rose up and said, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." He was saying, you're not going to have any part in the honor of the day. God alone is going to bring you out and defeat your foes. You shall hold your peace. You're going to do nothing. You just remain at rest and let the Lord do this today. You see, it wasn't the children of Israel who brought themselves out of Egypt. It wasn't Moses who brought them out. It was the Lord who brought them out. And it's the Lord who is going to fight for them. So God assured his people through Moses, and he said, look, just stay in faith and obey me. Listen to what the Life and the Spirit Study Bible said. God fights for his people as they walk in faith and in obedience to his word. Now pay attention to that. God will fight for his people when they stay in faith and they walk in obedience to him. Then we go over to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30. But we see in chapter 1, we see that here Moses is rehearsing what happened in Egypt, what happened in the wilderness, and going on to the promised land. And he said, behold, the Lord God set the land before you and said, go up and possess it. And you, children of Israel, you said, well, we'll send men before us. They'll search out the land and they'll bring us word again. They picked 12 men, one of a tribe, to search out the land to bring word again. Well, these brethren, 10 of them, brought back an evil report, and they discouraged the hearts of the people by saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And if that wasn't bad enough, we saw the sons of Anakim there. They're the giants. The giants were in the land. And Moses said, I told you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord shall fight for you. Moses said in chapter 1, verse 30, he said, the Lord your God, which goes before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Moses was saying, look, you saw God go before you in the pillar of cloud by day, in the pillar of fire by night. And he was exhorting the people, you don't have to be afraid. You're not going to encounter these enemies in your own strength. Jehovah God, who was with you, will go before you to protect you and to strike down your enemies. He told them, look, the God who went before you, he will fight for you. And he was assuring them that the God that was present with them would be present among them. He would certainly fight for them. Even though the enemies were greater and taller, gods higher than the highest, and even though the cities were walled up to heaven, that God's throne is in the heavens. Now I want you to listen to what happens when God enters the fight. In Exodus 14:25, we see that the heathen take note of it. When God enters the fight, the heathen have to make remarks and take note. Listen to what Exodus 14:25 says. And took off their chariot wheels, talking about God, taking off the chariot wheels of the Egyptians, and they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Oh, even the heathen have to admit, oh, let's get away from these Christians. Let's get away from the church of the Lord Jesus, because even the Lord fights for them. And then another thing that happens when God enters the fight is that supernatural things start to happen. In Joshua 10:42, it says, and all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Now I want to tell you, in that chapter, we read about God sending hailstones. More people were killed by the hailstones than by the sword of Joshua. And also in that chapter, we read about how the sun stood still that day. But here it says that Joshua took all these kings and their land. He took them at one time. Quickly, supernaturally, when God enters the fight, things start to happen suddenly, quickly, supernaturally. Also, when God enters the fight, the weak are made strong. There's not a better example of this than 1 Samuel 17, where David, the shepherd boy, stood before the Philistine, the giant, and he said, yeah, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I'm going to smite you and take your head from you, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. When God fights, enters the fight, the weak are made strong. And then we also see that when God's people get their focus solely on the Lord, they're not looking to man, they're not looking to self, they're looking just to the Lord. then God enters the fight. Like in 2 Chronicles 14, 11 to 12, we have Asa crying out to the Lord. He said, Lord, it's nothing with you to help, whether it's with many or with them that have no power. Help us, Lord. We're resting on you. And in your name, we're going against this multitude. Oh, Lord, you're our God. Don't let man prevail against us. And the Lord said, I could work with that attitude of humility and dependence. And so God was pleased with them. And the Bible tells us the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Then we go on to Deuteronomy 3:22 and chapter 20, verse 4. These are similar in nature. Deuteronomy 3:22 says, you shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. Here we have it that Moses is telling Joshua as he's going toward the promised land. He's telling them, you don't have to fear, Joshua, on account of the numbers, strength, courage, gigantic stature of the inhabitants. You don't have to fear on account of the walled towns and the fortified cities. And then Moses commanded Joshua, and he said this, consider what God had done and consider what God had promised. In a sense, that's what he was saying. And I want to just stop and interject this. I believe that God's speaking to somebody today, those very words. He's saying, consider what God has done for you in the past and consider what God has promised. You don't have to fear the enemy that's coming against you, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. But he will fight only if you carry out his will and you fight for his holy cause. God's not obligated to fight for every cause, some unrighteous cause. No, he will fight when you carry out his will and you are fighting for his holy cause. And then Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says, for the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Now, it was the same situation. Moses was telling Joshua, when you go out to battle, when you see horses, chariots, people more than you, don't be afraid. Don't let your heart faint. Fear not. Don't tremble. Don't be terrified, for the Lord goes with you and fights for you. And then we see when God enters the fight, we see that no man can stand before you. And the fear and dread comes on the enemies of the people of God. Listen to what Deuteronomy 11:25 said. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. You don't have to fear any man when God enters the fight. The church of the living God does not have to fear anyone. And no man can stand before the church when God enters the fight. And the fear and dread falls on their enemies. Also, when God enters the fight, mighty things. We said this already. Mighty things start to happen. Listen to what Joshua 23:10 says. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fights for you as he has promised you. This is impossible. One man can't chase 1,000. Oh, but when God enters the fight, supernatural things begin to happen for the people of God. Then lastly, we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And here we find Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came, entered into Judah, encamped against defense cities, and purposed to fight against Jerusalem. But King Hezekiah stood up. He said to the people, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that's with him. There be more with us than with him. And he said these words in 2 Chronicles 32:8, with him is an arm of flesh, But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Notice what he said. With him is the arm of flesh. That's always been the character of the enemies of the people of God. They're always described by an arm of flesh. They are weak, frail, mortal men. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. On our side is the Lord God Almighty. He has the host of heaven at his command. With him, all the inhabitants of the earth are as nothing. And he's in covenant with his people. That means that our enemies become his enemies. And he has vowed to help us. Not only will he help us fight our battles, but he will fight them himself. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Oh, I like how 2 Chronicles 32:8, finished off. It said the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And I believe the Lord wants you to rest yourselves on the word of this broadcast today. This word that's coming to you. Rest yourself on this word. We saw in this teaching today that God fights for his people when they get their focus on him alone, when they stay in faith, when they walk in obedience to his word. He fights for them when they are facing overwhelming odds. When God enters the fight, we saw that the heathen will even notice, and they will take note and say something about it. When God enters the fight, we saw that great things are accomplished suddenly, quickly, supernaturally. Mighty acts break forth. When God enters the fight, the weak are made strong, like we saw in the case of David. When God enters the fight, no man can stand before the people of God, and the fear and dread comes on the enemies. And oh, this is the most important. God will fight for his people, but we have to be sure to carry out his will. We have to be fighting for his cause and to make sure that we're on his side. Remember today, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. He's strong and mighty. The Lord is mighty in battle. When he enters the fight, great and mighty things happen. This is Connie Giordano coming to you live on Spreaker Radio. Let's pray. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I ask you right now that you would intervene. I ask you to enter the fight that we as the people of God are facing. You see forces of evil that are trying to take away our freedoms, our freedom of religion, our freedom, Lord God. They're trying to stop the preaching of the gospel, the teaching of your word. But we're asking you today, Lord, that you would enter the fight, oh God. Enter the fight so much so that even the heathen will have to say, the Lord fights for his people. And we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for what you're going to do in answer to this prayer and in answer to this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until next time, be blessed of the Lord Jesus. Amen.